Net neutrality is no longer the law of the land. Let's have a chat about what comes next. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. In news that surprised no one, the FCC voted 3-2 yesterday to overturn the rules that classify the internet as a utility. And with them, the rules that say internet service providers have to treat all content equally on their networks. So this week is a good time to introduce a new segment called Quality Assurance, a second look at the big tech story of the week for details, context, maybe even nuance. Joining me for our first installment is Tom Merritt, host of the Daily Tech News Show podcast, and my former co-host on the old CNET podcast, Buzz Out Loud. We have been covering net neutrality together since 2005. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Molly.
So maybe to the surprise of people who have been following us for a long time, I think you and I have been fairly reasonable on this topic, on the internet, at least.
We've gone through many stages of net neutrality emotions, I'm sure.
We really have. We've been covering this together since 2005. And I think, you know, there has been a lot of, I think it's fair to say, hyperbole on both sides of this debate. Certainly in my conversation with FCC Chairman Ajit Pai this week, people took issue strongly with some of the things that he said. But I think that's fair to say on both sides too, don't you think?
Yeah. On the one hand, trying to spin the investment numbers hard, trying to say that the internet somehow doesn't have freedom right now are exaggerations from Pai's side of the aisle. But the idea that, you know, the minute these are recorded in the Congressional Register, the internet will die and paid priority lanes will be rolled out immediately is alarmist as well.
Well, so then what do you think? I tend to think that we are not going to see a lot of immediate change and that there may actually be some market pressure to keep ISPs in line. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to say that the one thing Ajit Pai keeps saying about the fact that, well, the internet was an information service until 2015 and it was fine, is worth paying attention to. Now, it was only an information service from 2005 till 2015. He would like you to believe it was always that way before. But the fact of the matter was, we didn't have an internet rife with net neutrality violations. What we had was sort of a clunky situation where maybe a Wisconsin ISP or maybe a Comcast would edge forward and try something and see if they could get away with it. And public pressure would come in and outrage would mount and they'd back off from it. It's probably not the most efficient way to manage these things, but the ISPs are not going to want to risk a big public relations scandal right out of the gate. They're not going to do anything right away. If they do try something, it'll be a while later when tempers have calmed and it'll be small. But the other thing to remember is that they don't know that these rules are going to stick around. This is not the first time we've switched from Title II to information service, back to telecommunications service, now back to information service. A new administration may come in, you know, in a few years and decide, well, we're going to switch it back again. And any business is not going to want to spend too much money investing in a future that may not stay that way.
Yeah, it seems to me that the argument about investment sort of falls apart when what you really do is just sweep all of the rules off the table, because you've now put sort of the internet back at zero. I mean, one of the things we've been talking about since 2005 is that there have been, like you said, these sort of clunky, halting, confused, half measures, sometimes extreme measures to try to figure out the best way to ensure the best access to people.
Yeah, and I've maintained for a long time that the best insurance of net neutrality is choice, so that you as an internet customer can say, well, wait a minute, I don't want to have to pay extra to get to any website. I'm going to find an ISP that doesn't do that. The problem is that we have abysmal choice in the United States. When you talk about 25 megabit per second internet, you're talking about 2/3 of the country, roughly, that only has two or fewer people to choose from, companies to choose from. And those companies often settle into a very comfortable circumstance where neither one of them does anything to steal the market share from the other. So unless we have effective competition, you can't use the marketplace to enforce net neutrality.
Yeah. And I'm kind of curious to see whether we're going to see a surge in sort of creative. I've been a big proponent of equal and opposite reaction since the election of 2016. And so I'm curious as to what Market Solutions, you know, the internet community might find, peer-to-peer mesh networking or some sort of, you know, what would be the Bitcoin of the internet that could come in if indeed everything went crazy?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting companies out there trying things using blockchain, using mesh to say, well, wait a minute, what if we didn't need ISPs at all? You know, what if we could figure this out? So we're far from that happening, but this is certainly going to encourage those businesses to accelerate.
So now, immediately after the FCC's vote, we got an email from Senator Thune, chairman of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee, calling for Congress to move forward on legislation around net neutrality. We've talked about this a lot. How likely is this to happen?
Well, Senator Thune tried this in 2015 when he wanted to stop Tom Wheeler's FCC from reclassifying the internet as Title II. He wasn't successful then, although he had less of a majority and a Democratic president. I'm not terribly confident that the playing field is any better now for him to get something to move forward, simply because things are so partisan. He would need Democrats to reach across the aisle and say, yes, let's work on crafting responsible and reasonable classification of the internet. That's not telecommunications. That's not an information service. We will stop trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Let's create a square hole for the internet, and the right peg goes in. I think there's a chance of that. I don't think it's a high chance.
But that's one of the things you argued today, right? Which is instead of trying to figure out whether this is a 1930s, I mean, I think we agree that Title II, the idea of this being a 1930s era utility, as Ajit Pai is fond of saying, was a bit clunky. So one of the things that sounds like you're arguing and wrote in a column this week is the internet should be classified as an internet service.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of disingenuousness in saying 1930s era legislation. It was 1930s era legislation well, that was updated in the 90s. And, you know, if the entire Constitution is 1800s era legislation, so it seems to work pretty good. The age is not the problem. The problem is it's built for telecommunications, not for the internet. The internet's something new. So yeah, absolutely. I think we need to have law that says, just like the 96 Act said, hey, guess what? Cable television is not telephone. We need to have an information service category. Now we need to have an internet category. And the risk of doing that is that people use that opportunity to put forward bad law that favors their particular donors. But hopefully there's enough public pressure, and the public is overwhelmingly in support of the principles of net neutrality, that maybe we can actually get something good crafted.
Now, one of the big things that critics have said about the FCC's move here is that they're getting rid of all consumer protections, not just overturning this reclassification, but also saying there should be no bans on blocking and throttling. And Ajit Pai, in my interview, said there have never been any bans on blocking and discrimination and throttling before 2015. Now, you and I have a long history with this, and we know that that is not 100% accurate, right?
Well, no. I mean, don't forget that the internet, from its invention in the 60s until 2005, was a Title II service. It was regulated under telecommunications because most ISPs were dial-up and they operated over the telephone lines, and blocking and throttling would not have been allowed then. There was even a policy statement made by Michael Powell in 2004 saying that the FCC ensured four freedoms, and blocking was mentioned as one of those things that you can't do. The 2010 rules had no blocking, although those were thrown out in court. So I guess you can not count those. So, you know, I think, again, that's disingenuous. Trying to say that blocking and throttling have always been permitted and were never prohibited is not true. In fact, the spirit of the internet was based on you will take my packets and I will give you yours from the beginning.
Yeah, it's sort of a cheerful parsing, a way to say that there was a policy statement, there were guidelines, there, you know, but there were never maybe hard and fast rules. And it's just a little, it shows you, I think, the level to which it, and frankly, the fact that there had to be a security interruption during the FCC hearing today, show you just how heated and distorted this conversation has become.
Yeah, my impression listening to all of the chairmen speak today is that there are good arguments for saying the internet should be classified as an information service, none of those were used. Instead, it just it felt like a lot of half truths and some outright misleading being done because they just wanted to vote that way.
That's Tom Merritt, host of the Daily Tech News Show and many other podcasts. And it is Feedback Friday. We asked you last week if you still use cash. What a crazy idea. Well, Amir is on work assignment in Germany and says it is definitely not cashless. In fact, he said he had to pay for his kitchen remodel in cash because you know who doesn't take credit cards in Germany? IKEA. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Dan Powell and Sarah Bruguer are our engineers. And well wishes and a fond farewell to our intern, Christian Schwab. Thanks for everything. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Thanks for listening to Marketplace Tech. Here is an investment opportunity for you with a guaranteed return. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You also help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust. So don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.